this amount, you're not going to get a phone call from any of the leaders because of that. The idea is this is a commitment you've made, but if we see the pledge, if we see the commitment, then that helps us to move forward as far as budgeting. The second half you tear off, and it's something for you. It's something to help you remember your commitment. You can put it in some place to remember, or in your wallet or purse or whatever. And so the idea is that together, we want to join God in what he's doing here. And what God is doing is he's bringing families, and we want to be more equipped to serve those families and specifically serve and invest in children's ministry. And so would you join me in praying for that? You can give online or through our app as well, and there's a QR code on the back of that card that you can find for that. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for how you're answering prayers. We thank you that you are continually drawing people to yourself. And God, we thank you that we get the opportunity to be involved in that story, that we get to be involved in bringing hope and restoration and freedom to those in this world that are lost and that don't have that. And so, Jesus, would you continue to multiply the work here? And Lord, we thank you just for your generosity towards us, and we respond with generous hearts as well. Lord, help us to have a mind to see that this is not our home. Heaven is. And so, Lord, help us to invest in eternity. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the bulletin, there's more information and announcements than I'll be able to cover this morning. So if you didn't get one, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. And then finally, if you're a member of Adventure Church, we want to invite you on November 19th at 12:30. So it's after the second service. We'll have a little soup lunch that we're going to provide so that people are not ravenous. But the goal of this is to, this is for members only of Adventure Church, and we have kind of a family concern that we want to invite you into and invite your prayer in. And so if you would join us at 12:30 on November 19th. And then lastly, Friday, December 1st, so the first Friday in December, Duval, this as a community, does something called the Christmas tree lighting. So down at McCormick and kind of Depot Park, they do a Christmas tree lighting ceremony. There's all these booths, and literally hundreds and hundreds of people come. It's outrageous how many people come to this little thing. And so we have kind of a tradition here of loving the community just by giving away apple cider, free cider, and cookies. And it's a way that we can just love the community and say, hey, we are so blessed by what God has given us, and we want to give away. And I did this last year. And I was one of the volunteers kind of giving things away, and I was blown away by people's response. They were so shocked and so blown away that we would give them a free cookie and a free cider. And I even had many people say, why would you do that? Like, why would you give away this cookie for free? And it was great because I was like, you know what? We just feel like God has given us so much. We want to give back and invest in our community. And then I invited them to the Christmas Eve service, and they came. I mean, it doesn't get any easier than that. It was like, hey, here you go. Like, here's something that we can love you and take place in being part of the community. So two invites for you. One, if you want to be a part of that team that's just giving stuff away, it's super fun and super easy. Write on your connection card, just Christmas tree lighting, and we'll contact you. I'm going to be a part of that team, so I invite you to come join me. Even if you can only be there for a little bit, come hand out some cookies. And it's a lot of fun just giving cookies to little kids and letting their parents deal with the sugar high that comes after that. And then the second thing is we need cookies. And so if you are passionate about baking cookies and you want to bake a couple dozen cookies or bake some for Christmas and maybe make two dozen and keep one for your family and give one to the church, we'll give those cookies away. And so we'll have a sign-up sheet available for you next week. But if you want to go ahead and commit to that now, on your connection card, just write cookies and then put it in and put your information on it, and we'll get in contact with you. So we're excited for the opportunity to serve and bless our community in a really fun and simple way. So I invite you to join us. Now I want to invite Jeff to share with us this morning.
All right, good morning. I'm Jeff, as BJ said, one of the pastors here. And we are in a series right now called Live the Adventure. So if you're joining us this morning, welcome. Our vision is hearts restored and people set free to adventure with God. The reason we have that vision is just like we were singing, Jesus makes all things new, right? And the word doesn't say Jesus makes all new things. He makes all things new. That's restoration, okay? Restoration of your heart, restoration of you as a person and what you are meant to be in the image of God. And that's the business that God is about, is saving people to an eternity with him and restoring them to him as his image. And so we're aligning ourselves as a church with that vision. In this series, we're looking at what we call five streams. And these are not steps of growth in your walk with God. All of these streams interact with each other and flow together as aspects of our relationship with God and how we then, as Christians, relate to this world. So we've covered walking with God, which is a personal relationship with him, not religion. Okay? So that's actually being able to communicate with God, and he communicates back to us. Walking in step with him throughout our day, from the mundane, from the little things in life, to the critical decisions that we have to make in our lives. Okay? Second stream was restoration, which I just talked about. That's God restoring us to what we were made to be, okay? And those around us. And actually, the last stream, which we'll cover in a few weeks, mission, is him recruiting us then to be on board with him doing that work of restoration in the lives around us and even around the world, okay? This morning, we're in part two of the stream of warfare, okay? Spiritual warfare. Last week, BJ introduced this stream, introduced biblically the foundation for this stream. And I would say of all these streams, they're all very biblically based, okay? Spiritual warfare may be the one that most people would like question. It's actually, I think, the most biblically supported stream. So clear all throughout New Testament. It's just a fact. There is a spiritual battle going on. You're going to be in it. God makes it clear. You're going to experience it. And he also makes it clear what to do about it. And so we're going to try to cover, with the brief time that we have this morning, a little bit of just an introduction to how to address spiritual warfare. As just so you understand the culture of Adventure Church, this is going to be woven into the things that we do. We live with this category. Okay? Before we do that, I meant to skip that video. Before we do that, in November, first couple Sundays of November, around the world, the church, God's church, the body of Christ, has decided to take a time each year to recognize and acknowledge the persecution that's going on around the world. And this is in an effort for our hearts to connect, Hebrews 13:3, that it would be as if we were in prison with them and as if we were suffering with them. Some of you maybe are under persecution. Maybe it's from your extended family or in your workplace. But taking some time to connect with the larger body of Christ in the persecutions that are coming against them. So this morning is actually a morning where many churches around the world are taking some time to pray. And we're going to do that this morning. There's actually going to be several exercises we do this morning that will be go beyond just listening to me talk and actually engaging in some prayer. So one of the things you'll find when you go out and you talk to people in these very heavily persecuted places, Syria, Iraq, you know, Middle East, North Korea, you'll hear stories of them not saying, please pray that the persecution will stop. That's the most amazing thing about it. And so what that does is it rattles our kind of American culture of this demand for religious freedom that we have, okay? We respect and we love the freedoms that we have to worship God, and I do, and we're thankful for that. But Jesus made it very clear that if you believe in me, you will be persecuted as I was persecuted, okay? And he actually says that that's an honor that we share. And so these people have actually experienced in that persecution, having experienced it, they've connected with that heart of Christ that says, you're being honored through this persecution. And their prayers are actually that they would hold up under the persecution, that they would stay strong in their faith, that their persecutors would come to Christ and be saved through their faithfulness. And so that's amazing to me. And what that does is it challenges me to say, Jeff, are you in your life right now sharing Christ with the same passion that those around the world who are threatened with death for their faith are sharing? That's a challenging question. I would say that many of them are sharing their faith more regularly in countries where it's completely closed. It's completely illegal. They're risking being thrown in prison, being stripped from their families, and even dying. And yet they're sharing their faith with more fervor and more passion than I am. And that's the fruit, even, of that persecution that they're under. So as we join with many other churches in the body of Christ this morning and pray together, those are some of the things we're going to pray for. And what we're going to do is this section here is going to pray the first prayer point, and then you guys will take the second and then the third. And it's just going to be gather maybe with two or three people around you. It's not everyone in the circle has to pray. Don't, you know, I'm not trying to totally push you out of your comfort zone, but maybe a little nudge, you know, because there's power when we come together in prayer. And this is the number one thing that the persecuted are asking for. They're not asking for, you know, lobbying and, you know, changing the political scene in their country so that they can worship freely. The first thing they're asking for is prayer for these points, okay? So you guys are going to be doing this one. Strength and courage for those under extreme persecution that they would remain faithful, okay? It's just as God leads you in that. Second middle section here, that the persecuted would be a witness to the lost, that those persecuting would have dreams, visions, and encounters with God that would lead them to saving faith, okay? And then this section, that we would live Hebrews 13:3, and that there would be a connection for us to the church. And on that last, to the persecuted church, and on that last point, what I would encourage, you know, as a next step after we pray, what step could you take to be more connected or less isolated from the persecuted church? Through the last few years, we've taken this time and recognized and prayed for the persecuted church in the past, and I signed up for an email that comes once a week from an organization called Open Doors. It's a great organization. Voice of the Martyrs is another great one that does things like this. And they'll just send a report, a story, a specific story that personalizes these incredible stories of persecution, but then faith and how God's moving and doing miraculous things in people's lives. And I have to admit, over the last several months, that got like reverted to my spam. I don't know, I'm not like a techie person, but it got sent there to where I didn't even know I was getting it anymore. And I fell off the map. I just wasn't thinking about it. And what this time does for me each year is it resets. It reminds me that there isn't the persecuted church and then the church. Our church is persecuted. Our brothers and sisters, members of this church, are being persecuted, okay? Because we're a part of the body of Christ. And so I figured out how to take command of my email and make that email go to the general file so that I can see it when it comes in. And that reminds me to pray. It inspires me. It actually moves me towards action in my faith with the people around me. Like, wow, I just read the story about this guy who laid it all out there. And he was actually killed for his faith. And then a church started in his village because of it. Okay, I think I'm going to talk to my neighbor today about Christ. And he might give me a weird look. I'm willing to sign up for that. Okay? So let's pray. We're just going to give a few minutes. I'd love to give more time, but it will be powerful with all of us praying. So we're just going to do it all at the same time. Just turn to a couple people around you and take your section. And if you want to pray for one of the other prayer points, cool. All right, well, Lord, I agree with these prayers, and thank you for being with us in persecution, even for being with our brothers and sisters. God, I just agree with that final prayer point. Lord, would you just awaken something that maybe is just cold or not, just not sensitive right now? Would you awaken that in us so that we could feel that connection with our brothers and sisters around the world? And that it would inspire us. Oh, what joy they would have to know that their faith in that persecution is inspiring our faith and bearing fruit even here. Lord, just as the enemy tries to crush, he only spreads the seed of faith farther. Lord, let that be the case in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. So there's a bunch of really cool resources that Kathy Ulrich gathered for us on the back table. Grab a magazine. There's some information on some really good books to read that will help take that step of helping you engage with the persecuted church and just kind of attach your hearts more to your brothers and sisters who are going through different situations in persecution. So warfare. I mean, persecution is warfare, right? It is this this evil, dark person, Satan, who is set against the bride of Christ. Set against the bride. Many of the movies that we watch, usually the villain oftentimes will go after the bride or the beauty, okay? And when God looks at us, he sees his bride, the body of Christ. And the enemy hates, disdains us, just as he disdains God. Just as he wants to be God. He wants to be worshipped. He wants our allegiance, okay? And so as we talk about warfare, we recognize that we live in that realm, okay? And God, in his graciousness, told us this, okay? You don't send somebody on a journey across a desert full of snakes and scorpions and not say a thing about them. That's just cruel. Go hike across this desert. And you don't send somebody scuba diving in the Great Barrier Reef and not mention sharks and what to do to avoid them or what you do if you encounter them. Okay, that we would consider that cruel. And God is not cruel. And he's not playing games with us. And that's why he laid out in his word so clearly what we're going to experience in this life and how to deal with it. So quickly, I want to go through three steps that we take to engage in spiritual warfare and see victory in our lives, the victory that Jesus paid for, okay? First step is suiting up, okay? Best way to be successful in war is to be prepared. And I just want to encourage you, praying in the morning is really important, okay? I don't want to hear this, I'm not a morning person, and I have my connection time with God in the evening, and you know, I'll catch up with him then before you go to sleep, right? That's a great time to connect with God before you go to sleep. But starting your day in the truth is critical, because I can guarantee you, you're going to step into warfare the minute you get out of bed. Sometimes, in your sleep, you're going to sleep in warfare. And you're going to need to deal with that when you get up in the morning. Okay, so the way you suit up is you step into, you put on truth, okay? Ephesians 6, Paul talks about the armor of God, okay? He doesn't just say, when you receive Christ, you are equipped with this armor. He says, put on the armor of God. When you receive Christ, you are given the ability to put on this armor. You have been made access to, you've been given access to, this armor, but you have to put it on. Okay, so we put on truth. Jesus said this: if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay, so as you begin your day, you've already had some day up till now. This is second service, but let's practice this by doing it. Okay, first, just by example to understand what does it look like to put on truth in the morning. But also, let's do it for this day and see if it makes a difference in your day. So let's pray truth. Just agree with me. Lord Jesus, I just come to you right now. I thank you for the work of your cross. And I just want to put on that truth right now. Lord, I need reminded. And so I come before you to declare the truth. And Lord, so I thank you and I stand in the work of your crucifixion and its power over Satan, over my flesh, over this world. You put to death those things through your crucifixion. And so I take my place in your crucifixion and I die with you. I take up my cross today and I die to my old self right now and separate myself from sin by the power of your crucifixion, Lord. And Lord, I also take my place in your resurrection, which is the new life. So I am dead to sin, but now I am alive in Christ because of your victory over sin and death. And Lord, as my faith is in you and you are my Lord, my leader, I stand also in the victory of your resurrection and the work that it has accomplished for me to live now a new life and to face this day as a new man. And Lord, I also take my place in your ascension. And Jesus, this is where the authority comes in. You ascended and were seated at the right hand of God with all authority placed on you over the enemy, over this world, over the flesh and sin. And you have seated me with you in the heavenly realms. And so I acknowledge that this morning and I take my place seated with you in that authority. And so as I move forward in this day, I declare the power of your crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's all truth, right? And we can declare those truths, and we need to be reminded of those truths in our lives. One of the tools that we have for that is something we call the daily prayer. And it's been, Ransomed Heart Ministry has done some things with it, but they got it from somewhere else and someone got it from there. And so everyone's contributed to it, but what it is it's a collection of the truth of God in a prayer, okay? And you may say, I don't really like to read prayers, you know. However, if you don't find it easy to flow through a prayer like that we just prayed and speak the truth as it is, and declare that truth in the beginning of your day, this could be a really great tool, even if you just did it for a week or two. Every morning, read through this prayer. And this is just a little piece of that prayer, okay? It's very comprehensive. It walks you through putting on even the armor of God. And that's an action that we take to suit up and to face the enemy with action, okay? So the daily prayer is in your bulletin. There's a half sheet there. If you didn't get a bulletin or you don't have that, there's some of those on the back. I'd encourage you to grab it and just for a week, start your day with that. Okay. Get up 10 minutes earlier. If you're usually like type that just like hits the floor and gets out to work, give yourself 10 minutes to do that. Listen to it on your commute. You can get an audio version of it from Ransom. If you look up Ransomed Heart and download their app, they have all kinds of cool resources. One of them is the daily prayer that is read aloud. But it's truth, and you go into your day with the truth. Another resource, there's a couple of these in the back that we just asked for a donation for. You can just go online and order it. It's called What to Wear to the War. It walks you through the armor of God and the meaning of each of those pieces of armor. Because it's one thing to just pray through, yeah, I put on the breastplate of righteousness, I take up the sword of the Spirit, but to really understand what that means, because what it means is the power. That's the power in the spiritual realm. So really good resource. It's a small book. You can read it pretty fast, but it kind of unpacks each of those pieces of armor. Okay, so that's suiting up. That's just kind of preliminary, like go into your day equipped with the truth. Okay, second, identifying, okay? An important part of warfare is being able to identify, okay? How many times in the last week have you attributed something in your life, a circumstance, a thought that came at you, whatever, to warfare? How many times? Just, you don't have to say it out loud, but just think about it. Chances are, if you would say maybe one or two or none, this is an important step. to step into starting to even identify. It's hard to engage in war when you can't identify the enemy or where he's at, okay? Sometimes the dynamic going on of not really feeling the warfare, for me, I go through seasons, if I'm not really engaged in the battle, I'm not really on God's critical mission for my life, the enemy gets pretty quiet because he's got me parked, right? It's like, why would I stir anything up in Jeff's life? This is working perfect. He's not doing what God called him to do, okay? Sometimes that's the dynamic going on. Maybe you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, okay? And so the enemy's tactic is silence. Okay, I'm not going to allow you to be aware spiritually of what's going on in your life. But I'll tell you, God's trying to break through that. That's probably why you're here this morning. And through receiving Jesus Christ, you receive now the ability to identify. Okay, so talking about identifying, let's just use the category of thoughts, okay? And just real practically look at some ways that you identify. Okay, you may be hit with, excuse me. Maybe hit with something in your throat. So you may be hit with this thought regularly, and you're like, where's that coming from? Is that just me? And you kind of chew on your own thoughts. God's disappointed with me. There's a failure in my life, a sin, something that I keep returning to that just I keep running over. And now I'm starting to think God's just kind of tired of me coming back to him. And I think he's actually wants me to get things cleaned up and then maybe I can approach God. Okay, that might be just a thought. Okay, next step, we're going to talk about what to do about it. But let's just go through some things. Worry, okay? Maybe you think, yeah, I just worry a lot. That's just me. But maybe you're the type that lays there on in the bed and stares at the ceiling and wonders what you're going to do about retirement and what you're going to do about that noise that the car's making and how you're going to pay your tuition at school. And it just consumes you. I knew I'd get you with that one, Caleb. Okay, it just consumes you and it robs you of so much in your life. Like, that's what's kind of directing you. Fear, okay? I'm not talking about just, like, a small level of fear even, but it might start there. But I'm talking about a fear of relationships in general, okay? A fear of the dark that is paralyzing. Okay, I know somebody who's afraid to go in elevators. It's like, where did that start? Where did that come from? And how can we get free from these fears that we have? Okay, and these things develop oftentimes from the enemy. Okay, in small ways over time, directing us towards these things that chain us. Okay, it's not freedom. The truth will set you free. Temptations. Okay, how many of you have just been going about your day and the most awful, sick, dark thought will hit you. And the next thought that hits you is, how could you even think that? Okay? The enemy does work in those ways too. Okay? I'm not talking about blaming everything on the enemy, but frankly, I think oftentimes we lean on the other side and we don't blame enough on him. And then he starts to create in us an image of ourselves. Because of the thoughts. Here's a thought. Wow, what are you doing with that thought? Why are you thinking such things? And then he just walks away, and we spin on that for the rest of the day. Now, times that times 5,000 over the years. And how do you start to see yourself? Okay? These are the ways the enemy works. Okay? Interpreting motives. Okay? Something that we tend to like to do as human beings, okay? I think I can know why you said that and why you said that in that tone. I think I can read your heart and your mind and your motives. And then the enemy comes in. Yeah. You know the little, you know the cartoons with the little devil on your shoulder? Not too far off. He is throwing thoughts in our minds, okay? He's called the tempter is another name he's given. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Accusing us before God, trying to, accusing us between one another and causing dissension. Doug, where are you at? You want to come up? I asked Doug to come up and kind of give us just another example from his life of what this looks like in identifying it.
Morning. So I want to talk a little bit about a second way that the enemy tends to operate. BJ touched on last week, yes, that the enemy likes to come from a standpoint of I'm not here, just hiding in the shadows. It's just you. I don't exist. I'm just a fairy tale. Cute little guy with the pointy horns and the tail, but you know, I'm not real. It's just you. As we go through the healing that we've been talking about in the early streams and start to uncover the identity that God has created us to be, the enemy tends to go into a second way of working, which is basically throwing everything at you. You know, the car broke down, accusations, relationships blowing up, stuff like that, with the suggestion that if you'll just back down, it can all go back to normal. Let's make a deal. Let's all go back to the way things were, and life can be a lot more pleasant. So I grew up in an abusive home, mostly emotional, a little bit of physical thrown in for fun. But kind of the soundtrack of my youth was words from my father of quit acting like an idiot. What do you have, rocks in your head? No one cares what you think. Just over and over and over and over, thousands and thousands of times. And the thought that the enemy placed on the back end of that was basically, you offer nothing of value. Nothing. Went through life. Dear grandfather that I'd love to have a couple hours to tell you about my relationship and how he was kind of my hero in a lot of this. But when I was 16 years old, he passed away. And that was something of a train wreck in my life. My father, who doesn't deal with emotions or anything like that, was trying to figure out how to deal with the loss of his father and pick up helping his mom and all the details. I'm just, you know, the idiot kid that doesn't know what to do with all this emotion. And I was, I'm sure, driving him nuts. And it all came to blow up one day with him just screaming at me, why don't you just grow up? And the enemy coming with the message that you are an inconvenience. You are an annoyance. Nobody wants to be around you. And so these are some deep-seated things that I had believed about myself. I accepted them. I agreed with them. These were the truth of who I was. Okay. Showed up at Adventure just before the plant and joined on with the sound ministry. Sound ministry was my thing. I had done sound ministry for years and years and years and years. And it's a wonderful place to serve the Lord. It's also, in my case, a great place to hide. I could stay in the background and, you know, live with this beliefs about myself and feel like that I was doing something to contribute to the ministry. And through the ministry of Adventure and walking through this healing journey and a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, these streams, I experienced amazing healing in many, many aspects of my life. Just night and day difference in who I was and who I started to believe myself to be. It was really, really quite amazing. And some of it dealt with these feelings from my youth, but they were very, very deeply seated. They were really, really hard to get rid of because they were the core truth of what I believed about myself. Okay. So why those messages? You know, why the beliefs that were born of them? And I've come to believe that, or come to understand that it's not just random. It's very intentional. That we have an enemy, Satan, and his demons that used to be angels, fallen, used to spend all kinds of time with God in heavens. Then they recognize his glory. They recognize his image. And Genesis 1 tells us that we are formed in the image of God. We reflect his image in different ways, each of us. And our enemy can see that. He can see that like that. And so he goes about trying to stamp it out. Okay. Through this journey and starting to catch on with this, I had some really kind of interesting experiences. I went to a retreat, I think up at Island Lake out in Paulsbo with this church, and it was on the healing journey. And they had an open mic time at the end of the retreat. Hey, you know, come up, share what the retreat's meant to you, what's going on in your life. And for whatever reason, it was very uncharacteristic of me. I went for it and took the mic and kind of shared what God had been doing and the healing that he had bringing in my life, and really admonishing the guys that, hey, this is serious stuff. There is good stuff to be had here, and you should embrace this, and you should go after it. And I said my piece, and I sat down. I was approached later that afternoon by one of the leaders who informed me, you know, we had closing remarks prepared for the retreat. And after you said what you said, there was nothing left to say. And we threw them out. And I'm like, wow. But I'm the guy with nothing to offer. And it didn't sink in yet. Ended up going a few months later to Colorado to a Wild at Heart retreat, and had a chance encounter with a guy named Danny around the campfire late at night. Most everybody else had gone to bed, and we sat there at the campfire, never met the man before, talking about all kinds of stuff. I mean, God and cars and guns and kids and cussing and, I mean, you name it. We talked about it. And we went to part ways and go to bed. And he stopped me and called me back. He said, man, I got to tell you, there's a weight to your words. When you speak, I feel compelled to listen. You have a tremendous amount to offer. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. I didn't know what to do with it. I thanked him, went to bed, whatever. Talked with one of the leaders the next day. I'm just like, yeah, I had this conversation with this guy around the campfire, and this is just crazy. I mean, I've never met him before. We talked for an hour. How can he possibly? And the leader said, you know, he's right. And this was a man that had spent an incredible amount of time in my story with me. And so I slowly began to embrace this new identity. I slowly began to embrace this new idea of who I was and let go of some of those messages, and was invited into men's ministry and started speaking and having an amazing impact on a lot of guys' stories. Okay. That's what it's set against, your identity. But Satan never gives up. I mean, he still comes back with the old lures to see if he can get you to bite on him again. And he'll use current situations in your life to try to take digs at that again. And many times we can tell from the content what he's up to. It's like, oh, this is the enemy. You know, I was involved in a situation with basically defending a man who believed in me strongly and gave me an opportunity, and was basically told by some leadership to just shut up and stay out of it. It wasn't my fight. Okay? And the enemy's message there was, no one cares what you think. Sound familiar? It's that old thing from childhood. Or we can tell from the tone. Does it come in an accusing tone or a loving tone? Does it come in, you are such a hypocrite? Or does it come in, that's not you. That's not who you are. You can tell from the tone, oh, that's got to be from the enemy, because my God would never approach me that way. And sometimes the warfare is easy to see, and it's easy to fight against. But I'll be honest with you, there have been a couple things that have come along that, just some really dark times where the enemy was able to land some just brutal blows. And one of those had me basically sidelined for a couple years. You can probably count on one hand the number of times I came to church, and I had just given up. And it was a couple years into that that people, men from the men's ministry, people who I had had an impact on, started approaching me, hey, can we have coffee? You know, hey, you've had a tremendous impact in my life. We need you back. and inviting me back into it. And that was really hard. And so coming out of that, I really felt that God was telling me to wait for an invitation back into men's ministry. And so I waited. And I waited. And I waited. And the voice of the enemy kept coming along of, this is just ridiculous. You should give up. They're never going to invite you back. You're done. You should just leave the church and go somewhere else. And finally, an invitation came, but not for the men's ministry. I was invited to join the sound ministry, which is a wonderful place to serve, but it wasn't what I was told to wait for. And the message that came from the enemy and weighing over that was basically, hey, I saved your old job for you. Just take that back and we can all go back to the way it used to be. No. No sale. So you got to realize that there is a larger story playing out on a spiritual stage, a place where God has created us in his image, his beloved, and the enemy has stolen that, and God has redeemed it, and the enemy is still prowling about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's what the word has said that we should expect. You got to decide what you're going to do with that.
So hearing Doug's story, that's watching spiritual warfare play out, okay? This in the spiritual realm, this war for the hearts of men and women, for their identity, this battle between God and the enemy, okay? Now, we understand that Christ has victory, okay? Like Doug mentioned, Peter warns us that the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, and that we must resist him, standing firm in the faith. So suit up, identify, and then engage, okay? So there's actually going to be an engagement in war, okay? You're going to have to engage the enemy, okay? If a roaring lion is attacking you, if you're going to resist it at some point, that's going to look like something, okay? There's going to be some kind of war that happens there, some kind of action that takes place on our part. So real quick, like having thrown all those thoughts out that the enemy feeds us, we can't leave it there, right? And you shouldn't leave it there in your daily life, okay? How many of your thoughts as you go through a day do not align with God's truth, with the truth that sets you free that Jesus says? Okay, how many thoughts in a day just don't align with truth? Okay, so in that realm of thoughts, now, spiritual warfare can happen in so many different places, too. Okay, as you walk in this is an introduction to the stream. As you walk in this, you may come into a room and you feel a spiritual heaviness in a room. Okay, you can do something about that. That's where you bring the authority. That's where you resist and you stand firm. Okay, you do this. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, against truth. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Okay, so real quick, let's take captive those thoughts and just look at what that would look like in a daily walk with God in warfare. Okay? So you have this lie about God's disappointed with you. You can't go to him with this sin, with this problem, this darkness in your life that you continue to fail in. You need to stay away from him. So 1 John 1:9. Okay, 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So actually, he's saying the opposite of the enemy. He's saying, run to God when you're in sin. Run to him and confess. And he'll not only cleanse you from those sins, but he'll cleanse you from unrighteousness. He will help you to walk towards righteousness in your life and to overcome those things that are causing that cycle. Okay, so that's the truth. So you would say something like this. maybe, in response. I reject the lie that God has done with me, that his grace for me has run dry. I silence the enemy's accusations against God's grace. I embrace the truth that God tells me to run to him with my failures, and I will be met with forgiveness and the offer of freedom from continued failure. Okay? That's taking action. Okay? That's putting on. That's resisting, standing firm, all these things that we're taught in the New Testament to do. You have to take action. Worry, we're going to go quick through these. Okay, that overwhelming worry that you have, Matthew 6. Who by worrying can add a single day to their life? Okay, so Jesus is teaching here. You're not gonna gain anything by laying there staring at the ceiling worrying about your tuition, Caleb. Okay, but he said, seek first his righteousness and his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. So you might want to pray something while you're laying there in bed. I reject worry and the lie that God will abandon my needs. I cut off the enemy's list of worries right now, and I burn them. I turn from worry and seek God to guide me in managing my resources more wisely. Huh. God, what first step would you have me take to actually take action instead of just walk in worry? And then he may have some instruction for you to then step into to start to basically punch a hole in the fuel tank of the enemy, okay? And that fuel is all these things that need addressed in your life. But God might want you to start addressing, okay? Fear. Fear of failure, okay? Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who strengthens me. Kind of taking the model of Jesus with these thoughts, taking every thought captive, but he brought scripture, he brought the word and the truth, which set him free against the enemy. And then you make a declaration based on the truth, okay? Philippians says, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, so I'm afraid of this relationship. I'm afraid of failing at work. I'm afraid of letting my family down. Whatever it is, I'm not going to do well in school. I'm not going to get my diploma. I don't know why I'm sticking on that theme, but maybe this is for you this morning. Fight it, okay? Fear. So you might pray something like this. I reject fear and refuse the enemy's perspective. Just refuse it. I choose to trust that God is capable of making me capable to do everything that he calls me to do. I will walk in step with him and his strength in living that out by faith. Get behind me, Satan. Go to the feet of Jesus. Be quiet. In Jesus' name. You're bringing God's authority, okay? Satan's been given a level of authority. Okay, so we have to address him with a higher authority. And that's how you do that, is through Jesus Christ. Temptations. We're going to go a little long, and my wife's teaching Sunday school, so I'm going to hear about it. Temptations. We're going through these, okay? 1 Corinthians 10, okay? Temptations. Okay, the temptations come out of nowhere. Remember, I talked about that? These thoughts that are like, that couldn't be me. And then the enemy slowly convinces you, no, it's you. You're pretty dirty. You're pretty dark. Having those thoughts, okay? So 1 Corinthians 10 says that there's no temptations that you will face as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower of Christ, that your other brothers and sisters are not facing, okay? So I call that out because that might be you in your corner going, nobody has the bad thoughts I have. I have. I've had really bad thoughts before, and I've moved into a practice of shutting them down and taking every thought captive when it comes. And you know it's the enemy when you do that, and it's gone, okay? Now, it may take a practice of doing that. It might come back in an hour, and you shut it down again. But I can tell you, over time, just like those thoughts have crept in, you can shut them down and cut them off. So you might pray something like this. Oh, also, that verse says a lot. It says that you will not be tempted more than you can handle, and God will give you a way out. Okay, so those are truths. One of the important things about that is that you take the way out, right? So we don't take the way out that he offers, and then we shake our fist at God and say, why aren't you helping me overcome this constant failure in this area? So that's important too. I reject and turn from this temptation. I bind every offer of the enemy to lead me towards sin and destruction. You're cutting these things off. You're not giving them permission in your heart. God is faithful and will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I can bear. God, you give me a way out. I choose your way out reveal this way now so I can take it. You might have to change your routine. You might have to throw your computer out the window of the fifth story at your office building, as long as there's not a sidewalk down below with people walking. Okay, you might need to take some drastic steps. He's giving you a way out. Take it. Okay? One more, interpreting motives. Jeremiah 17:10 tells us that the Lord alone knows the heart and mind of a person. Okay? That's his place to interpret motives. And so you can submit to that. You can submit to that truth and say, I don't know the motives of my brother or sister that I'm really upset with right now. Lord, you alone know the heart and mind. I choose to reject the temptation to assume bad motives on the part of my brother or sister. Specifically name what that is, okay? And then you speak the truth that you do know about that person. Hopefully, you know, if you know something about them, something that's true in place of that lie that's been you've been chewing on about them. And let God be the one who judges motives and judges the heart. So those are just a few examples. What could it look like? Personalize it for yourself and the ways that the enemy tries to come at you, and then actually take action on that. That's the engaging part. So worship team, you can come up. We're just about done here. We're going to end with worship, but we're also going to end with doing a little bit of spiritual warfare. As I said at the beginning, this is the practical part two, and so we want to actually do warfare. Community, I want to say, is critical when it comes to warfare, okay? Being in community is God's design. There are few wars that have been won in history alone, okay? That's why God created community. And one of the strengths of community is when you're really in the warfare, when you're really under it, you don't even have enough faith or hope to stand up and fight. And I've been there before. And I've had brothers and sisters come around me and say, we have faith for you, Jeff. We have hope for you. And we're going to pray against the enemy. We're going to shut him down enough that you can stand up and take up your armor and fight him as well. So our next stream that we're heading into next week is community, and how, again, seeing how all these streams flow together and support each other. So I'm just going to pray through identifying. We put on the truth earlier. I'm going to pray through identifying maybe something that the enemy's up to in your life and then shutting it down. And then we're going to just worship to the truth of this song. So, Lord, I thank you that you are not cruel. You're kind and you're wise. And in your wisdom, you let us know that in this world there are snakes and scorpions. There is the enemy. There is Satan. And all of the fallen angels who are bowing to him, who are obeying him and working in our lives. And so, Lord, right now, in the truth of the work of the cross, what you've done for us, I just ask, and I'll pray this for myself, but you can pray it personally for yourself. Lord, would you reveal to me an area that the enemy is right now going after me? By your Holy Spirit, maybe an area that I've been attributing to myself or to somebody else or even to you, God. Okay, so I take that thought right now captive. And I reject that thought, whatever that is for you. It's not true. And this is the truth. And just tell God, repeat to him for yourself what the truth is about that lie, that thought, that circumstance. This is the truth, Lord. And so I put on the truth this morning as I head into my day, even about this thing. And when it comes up again, 20 minutes from now, I will reject it again as a lie from the enemy. And if there's somebody in here this morning who has not received Jesus as their Savior, as the one who paid for their sins, has not made him the leader of their life, you can do that this morning. and that will give you the strength to win against the enemy. It'll give you the authority. So if you're that person, you can pray this right now. Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner. And the only way back to you, back to relationship with you, is through the cross, through Jesus' payment for my sins. You said the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. So I receive your gift of eternal life in place of my sins. And I also make you the Lord of my life, that from this moment forward, you can tell me what to do, and you can run my life, because you can do it better than I can. And I receive your Holy Spirit as a seal of that decision and commitment to lead me, in Jesus' name. And so if you made that decision, I'd love to talk with you after church just to help you know next steps. So let's just worship to the truth and do some more spiritual warfare.
An amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I found, was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appeared the hour I first.
Sing this last verse.
The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. Will be forever.
Amen. Before you go today, just want to remind you, there is a team of prayer warriors who would just love to come and pray for you. And then please pick up your kids and also fill out a connection card. It would just be a great way for us to connect with you, especially if you're visiting. We'd love to be in contact with you. That is it for today. You guys are dismissed. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
You have new mercy for me every day. Your love.